Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What you're about to listen to was recorded years ago when we were but young folk. This is a recap of a previous season of Stranger Things. We decided to drop them again to refamiliarize you with the show, just in case you don't have time to rewatch them all. We also encourage you to check out the rest of the show. Back in the days of yesteryear, we recapped each individual episode in depth and had a great time. A lot of people seem to have fun doing that, so feel free to revisit those. We're looking forward to Stranger Things Season 4, so be sure to catch on up and listen to our live recap of Season 4. Before that, we'll be back to discuss the Season 4 trailer and rewatch the first three seasons and go over it all again. Make newer, fresher, hopefully more accurate predictions. I
don't know. Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, that's the cut.
It's like home, but it's so dark and empty.
What's it mean? 11. Friends don't lie.
Stop it! You're freaking her out!
He's freaking me out!
The upside down.
Do you understand what he's talking about?
No.
I found the chocolate bunny!
Oh God, please tell me it's not the kid.
I need you to hide!
Warnings are for coffee and contemplation.
Holy shit.
And we're back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. And we are hot, hot off the trail of season two of Stranger Things. I just saw the trailers for the very first time. And I'm fucking stoked. And you can like, oh, I doubt he just now saw those trailers. He's just totally trying to make it up so the show sounds cooler. And you can believe that if you want. If your life is devoid of any majesty or magic, that's fine. But it's true.
You should have watched Chris watch those trailers for the first time. He was like a small boy. He was giddy with excitement. He kept like snapping his head over at us like, did you go see that?
And they're like, yeah, I've seen that much time. So, yeah, I typically avoid trailers. I am part of the spoiler averse culture. I view things unsullied, as Jeff Cannata says. Big fan of that guy. So I try to avoid all promotional work for any property as much as possible and go in blind. But since I'm doing this show for you folks, I wanted to obviously have seen the trailers for the season one wrap up season two preview episode, which is what we're doing right now. We're going to wrap up season one. Just some quick overall thoughts. We did some very deep dives on each episode individually. So we've already pretty much talked about everything there is to talk about as in regards to season one. We're just going to wrap things up in a nice little bow, like it's a gift to Jonathan Byers from Nancy, and move on to a season two preview. Just real quick, if you guys haven't subscribed or rated and reviewed the show by now, please take the time to do so before season two kicks in, because we're going to have some serious stiff competition. So if you're a fan of the show and the extra work that we put in, I've listened to other Stranger Things podcasts. They're great. They're wonderful. I'm sure they're very nice people. But I feel like here at Streaming Things, we put a little bit extra a little bit extra, make it extraordinary. You know, that's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary. Just a little extra.
A little elbow grease.
And streaming things puts that in. Hour and a half episodes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We love this show.
Those shows don't have Andy.
Mm-mm. Nah, they don't.
Do not.
I think one of them does have a guy named Steve.
I'm kidding. There's one of us everywhere.
There are dozens of us.
At least, including one on the show about which we're talking. So, please subscribe, rate, and review. We need some competition. Wrong. We have competition. We need to be the competition.
We need to beat them.
Beat them.
Beat them to the ground.
You, dear listener, can be the hopper fist that fists the competition.
Phrasing.
Phrase. You're like Ted of the show. Language. Anywho. So, moving right on. Once you've done all that, I'm sure you did it real quickly, and we can move in. Overall thoughts for season one. I can't concentrate after this trailer. But,
right.
Andy, I mean, anything that pops out in general? I guess we should probably lead this discussion a little bit. So, Andy, what was your favorite performance of season one?
My favorite performance would probably have to be...
You're putting him on the spot. He wasn't ready.
Joyce. Yeah. So Winona Ryder
as Joyce.
The best performance in the show.
I think so. Obviously, like, my gut kind of wants to say that Billy Bobby Brown as 11 was the best performance, biggest breakout by far.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the one that I think was the most affecting and true to form, like, most believable in a way that I think... made me reflect on, like, my parents and, or my mother rather, and just, like, you know, what it could mean to lose a child and, like, what it would be like to be caught up in the situation where you're so confused. You think you're going mad, but, you know, you believe these things and all this stuff's happening around you. And I just think Winona Ryder killed it. She got so much flack after the show came out for going over the top. And I think that she did it exactly the way she needed to make me care about this character. When she toned it back, it made me sit up, made me pay attention. Like, my favorite scene in the entire series is her little maternal moment with Eleven, before Eleven goes looking in the in-between for Will. And yeah, so I'd have to say that Winona definitely takes the trophy.
Right on.
She's great.
Steve, what would you say is the best performance of the show?
The best performance of the show, I have to go with Winona as well. Everything that Andy just touched on to a T is she's a star in it. She's great. But to talk about something different, the coolest character in the show is definitely Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's my favorite character of the whole show. And that a lot of that has to do with Millie Bobby Brown's performance. You talk about it a lot on the past episodes. It's just Millie Bobby Brown can convey so many words with just a tilt of her head, or,
and thank God, because they don't give her many.
She has like four words, and she can convey so much more with just the slightest movement in her face, and it's so impressive for someone of her age. Not only that she can do that, but that they were able to find her.
Yeah,
that's absolutely, that's a next to impossible task, and they did it. And
they sought out the far shores of Britain, which is where you find all great actors.
True.
That's been my experience. I cannot believe she's British. I just found that out watching those trailers.
Oh, you just now found that out?
I didn't know. Well, I mean, I should have assumed. She's like, oh, I never really had an ego before, and it's interesting to me.
No syrup.
I've had crumpets, as you might expect.
She's becoming more and more cockney.
Yeah, I noticed.
Hello,
that.
Governor. Hairs on a bobbin, old bunt.
Thank God they took me out of that chimney.
Apologies to any listeners in the UK.
Oh, we have some, and I apologize.
Chris, who was your favorite performer?
My favorite performance, I'm torn. I know I should have thought about this at length beforehand. Rip Torn, which is a very unfortunate name of an actor that stars in Men in Black. And the show Sliders. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
On Sci-Fi Channel? Anywho. Enough about Rip Torn. I want to say Millie Bobby Brown. In fact, I'm going to. But can you guess who I was almost going to say?
Steve.
Jaybird?
Steve. Of streaming things.
Hey, that's me.
Charlie Heaton was a close third because I think he's incredible. Also didn't know he was British. I think David Harbour in the finale really ramped up for me a great deal. It meant a lot to me. And I realized how subtle his performance was. He's obviously playing the cool guy, the hard-nosed detective, the fighter. But there's so much more going on underneath. And I think it had to be difficult. You know, he's constantly dealing with, as an actor, okay, I'm grieving. I'm really fucking drunk. I'm also grieving my daughter. I have lost everything in life that means anything to me. And I'm trying so hard to care about this present and be of use to other people because inherently I am a good person. So he's trying to be a good cop, but most of the petty things are just not able to rouse him from his depressed Xanax slumber, right? So the day-to-day grind of typical Hawkins police work. You know, old Jimmy's boy lost his bike, you know, and he's just like, who gives a fuck, Joe? I mean, seriously? It's 8:30. You know what I mean?
Like, mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
Flow. So that meant a lot to me in that finale, watching his arc and grieving his daughter, Sarah, and how much it meant to him on a personal level to rescue Will and complete that for Joy. Joyce, I'm sorry. I just want to say David Harbour, but I just can't. I talk so much about Millie Bobby Brown throughout the first season of streaming things that I just think it'd be too much of a Shyamalan for me to say anyone else. Millie Bobby Brown absolutely killed it.
It'll be even more Shyamalan if you were like, my favorite actor was Troy. That kid, really, I felt him pee himself.
Baby Holly.
I felt him.
Baby Holly's a close second.
So, okay, who do you think was the MVP? And just to let you know, I don't want to cheat and pull the rug out from under you guys later. I'm considering cast and crew in this.
So who's the MVP in terms of who is the most responsible for the success of Stranger Things?
I mean, that would probably be an obvious Matt and Ross Duffer. So if we don't phrase it that way, just overall MVP, most valuable player.
Millie Bobby Brown. So much of the story hinges on a young girl being able to, you know, convey all these deep emotions without any real lines of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned before, it's amazing that they found someone who has the acting caliber that she does, because the show is anchored around her in a way. She connects all the stories together. And if you had someone in that role that wasn't as good as her, then the whole thing would more than likely fall apart and it would not succeed.
I think the show would have worked. But Eleven is a cultural icon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I predict that decades from now, if someone shaves their fucking head, puts on a pink dress, and puts a little blood in their nostril, well, they might just look like a crackhead. But
I think people will get the reference.
They're going to say, Eleven, fuck girl. Yeah. You know, like, for decades. And that is Millie Bobby Brown, in my opinion. So I totally support that for sure. Andy, who would you give the MVP to?
Ted. And he just made us reflect so much on what it means to be an absentee father. Right? Made me look deep down into myself and think about, for my future children, am I going to be a Ted? Will I finish the popcorn? Do I care about the language? No, I'm going to have to go with Millie BB for the MVP. Absolutely, like you said, she's an iconic character now, and that's entirely because of her performance. I don't think that anyone else could have pulled it off the way that she did. It's just something that really sticks with you, and she nailed it. It couldn't have been anybody else. What about you?
Honestly, I'm going to have to go with the editing team of Stranger Things.
The unsung heroes. They don't all wear capes.
The direction's phenomenal. The writing. The Duffer brothers have been working on this story for most of their adult lives. Mm. I mean, it's almost flawless. There's so much character work and arcs and all of the homage, and yet they've become something fresh and new with this story. It's amazing. But I was just constantly amazed at the tiny nuances that were put into place from the editing team. There were, it just in the finale, we didn't talk about it because we had so much to talk about, and it was like an almost 2 hour episode, and we still missed a bunch of things that I wanted to go over. But I remember, I forget quite what it was, but there was some rapid fire machine guns in two different places.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where the second place was happening.
When they were shooting at the Demogorgon in the school?
There was that, but it was like maybe the gunfire from Nancy. They cut on gunfire to a certain point when it was separate gunfire that it led into.
Hmm.
And it's just not always easy to do that. It's, you know, we've made films and you say what you want about them, but we know a bit about how much the struggle is real. And they're just flawlessly able to integrate this sound design and these match cuts to... And it doesn't distract from the story. It's only on a second watch that I was just starting to see this. Look at the seams. And I had to dig deep into this fabric to find any seams. And I'm just so impressed. The flashbacks I talked about at great length. Where to place those and the kind of information that they had. I just could not be more impressed with the editing on this. So I did some digging. The editors, Kevin D. Ross was the editor on all 8 episodes. But he had some help from Dean Zimmerman, who helped on 4 of the episodes, Nat Fuller, who helped on 4 of the episodes, which is probably an assistant editor.
Sure.
One on the first 4 and one on the second 4, maybe, or just interspersed. And then...
dream job.
Catherine Naranjo was on, given credit for editing. Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry.
So sorry.
Kevin D. Ross. Gomen Nasai. Kevin D. Ross is did 8 episodes from 2016 to 2017. Dean Zimmerman did, so maybe season 1 was just Dean Zimmerman and Kevin, and then Catherine and Nat helped on season 2, because they were only given 2017 credits, so I apologize. Oh, okay. We have yet to see your work, Nat.
Let's see if you can feel those shoes.
You got shit on Dean. So thank you so much to the editors. I don't know, I know that's random and a bit hokey, but I just could not be more impressed with editing. Never felt that way about a show before, like the editing. Oh my God. You know, like,
well, as a person who wants to be an editor.
Sure.
I'm so glad you've given them their due.
High five, Steve.
I didn't even.
So as you probably know a great deal more, I mean, you do a lot of physical editing. What did you think about the editing in Stranger Things?
Oh, it's fantastic. Like you put the, you know, they're able to use the sound design to kind of lead into transitions using sound. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of, sometimes they do a lot of cute, fun cuts.
Sure.
It's just great all around. And the it looks great. It's a great looking show. And there was never really a point where it seemed to drag. A lot of the good sign of good editing is not only that you make the performers look great, but also that the flow of the show or film doesn't seem
not
to
literally the character flow.
Not literally flow, but the flow of the show or film doesn't seem to drag. It, like, 20 minutes will seem like 2. And that's the show to a T, because we watch 8 episodes and I'm still kind of like, that was it. I want more.
Oh, totally. I remember a meme going around when season 1 first ended. It was Tyrone from the Dave Chappelle show, the crackhead character.
Oh yeah. And God damn.
Yeah. Y'all got any more of those Stranger Things episodes? You know, it was just, that was the meme, and everybody knew, like, that was, it went viral because that's how everybody felt. Yeah. Like, fuck.
Millie Bobby Brown, you crazy.
Yeah, totally awesome. So any unanswered questions from season 1? Obviously, they alluded to them in the meta Dungeons and Dragons game. The big ones, like, what the fuck was Hopper doing in the car?
Mm-hmm.
And where is Eleven? Because we all assume she was not dead. Mm-hmm. So anything other than that, I guess?
What's up with William?
Yeah.
Sure.
What's going on?
Why'd he be puking?
I want to know why we only ever saw the one monster from the Upside Down. Like, that's a whole
A vast place.
Yeah, it's a whole alternate dimension, you know, and it's at least as big as Hawkins, and there's just the one of it,
right?
You know, so
did you guys ever read, I know they made a movie, but I haven't seen it, but did you ever see Stephen King's The Langoliers?
Mm-mm.
Or read it?
I never read it. No.
Where, like, it's a plane of people end up, I think they, like, end up going through some sort of portal somehow in an airplane, and below them the world's going dark because monsters are, like, literally eating the reality, and that's how, like, each day changes. A day will happen, and then that world, that little slice of that day, is, like, in limbo for a little bit until monsters eat it, and that's how time is consumed, essentially.
And that makes it real time.
Well, like, if it's not in the present, it's in this alternate reality that's being eaten by monsters. So okay. that there's only, like, what's present.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if maybe the Upside Down could be something like that, maybe? Because I know there's a lot of references to Stephen King
sure.
novels.
That
so
would
maybe,
be interesting. That'd be a bit much.
Maybe, like, the vines that it seems that the Demogorgon, yeah. like, is so associated with is, like, consuming the world.
It almost looked like in the trailer there was, like, a War of the Worlds-sized monster
oh,
there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with that.
I'm calling it the Thessal Hydra.
The Thessal Hydra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when the kids are playing the Dungeons and Dragons game at the very end of season one, they have the big monster moment reveal when they run into it, and Will defeats it immediately in this version. But it's no longer the Demogorgon; it's the Thessal Hydra. So that's what I'm going to call that, even if they don't do it in the show.
I'm sure they will.
I hope so.
Calling it now. Calling it now. Meow. Okay, I don't really have any other... The eggs in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
How many Demogorgons are there? Demogorgi? I'm not sure what the plural of Demogorgon is.
What are the extent of 11th powers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, apparently she's alive. By the way, to remind you, I just now saw the trailer that was probably released, the first one, like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Comic-Con, mm-hmm. San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, June, I think. So, yeah, I just now saw it. So, to see Eleven's alive body sticking through her arm through the portal, coming back to the school, I just almost clapped. I may have actually clapped.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
You did.
I did actually clap.
You did clap.
Okay. So happy. I mean, I knew she wasn't dead, but because I'd seen interviews with Millie Bobby, like, yeah, it was great filming season two. Filming season two. AV Club. She was offset. Like, that's not how they. Anyway, very stoked to see that. But yes, where did she go? Why did she disintegrate? You know, I still have these questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember how season one started, it kept the audience very much in the dark, which was just so artfully done. It is so hard to tell a story that complex, especially a supernatural one where you have to establish a new universe of laws. Without just straight exposition. It's very difficult. And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I can't think of any other story offhand. I'm sure there's been dozens and dozens that have done it this well. The only one that comes to mind is The Matrix, which is, I think, canon is one of the best movies of all time from a storytelling perspective, at least the first Matrix.
Yeah.
And if you recall your first viewing, it's hard to think back to 1999. You know, I was 11.
Oh, shit.
But... you don't know what the fuck is going on for a great portion of that movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's very philosophical and kind of like, what is life? What is the world?
Like, guy on a cell phone, robot thing in his stomach. Yeah. What the fuck?
You know, it's like mouth melts into like no mouth.
Don't know what's real. And anyway, that's how I felt through the first four or five episodes of Stranger Things. And it just all organically becomes known to you. Mm. And that is hallmark of perfect storytelling.
Yeah, when I first started watching Stranger Things, I had only started watching maybe a week after it had released, and I only started watching because people said, A, it's really good, and B, do you like the 80s?
Right.
And so that's literally all I knew going into the show, was that there was 80s kids and weird shit happened in a town. It could have been, like, Halloween Town or whatever that NBC show was.
Halloween? No, that's the Disney original movie, right?
Yeah, Disney original movie.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking love that movie.
It could have been Halloween Town, probably, you know? But yeah. I started watching it and it was not at all what I was expecting, but I loved it.
I didn't even like the 80s. I didn't think I did. I'm not a huge fan of 80s music, even though I was born in the 80s. More of a 90s type kid, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I learned something funny today. Sorry, a little tangent here. Apparently, British people refer to the early aughts, like 2000, 2009, as the noughties.
That's awesome.
Isn't that hysterical?
That's way cooler than the aughts.
The aughts. Sick aughts joke.
Sick aughts joke, bro.
Sick noughties joke.
Noughties.
That's awesome. So yeah, those are the only lingering questions.
I have
more
a
rules of the
one.
Upside down.
Sure. What the fuck happened to 1 through 10?
Ah,
that's kind of one of my theories for season two is that we might get a glimpse at an evil 11. We're gonna get to see 9 or whoever.
It'll probably be a little more distant, like 6.
It would be 7 because 7 literally ate 9.
And when they hung out, they'd be a 7-11. Thank you. Come again.
I would be so sad if that turns out to be an actual plot line.
That 7, 8, 9? I doubt
no,
it.
No, that like, this is 7 and 11.
You don't think it'd be cool? Oh, yeah. It is interesting in that they'd be so much older, though, if it was a spear, especially like a 3.
There was an interesting line when Dr. Brenner first confronts Joyce in the finale of this. I believe he walks up to her and he goes, 6. Six. Uh-huh. 6 people have died, yada yada, but just like the emphasis that he puts on 6, I was in there like, oh shit,
yeah,
Joyce is 6, and then 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 11 came around. Now that's almost guaranteed to not be the case, but
Joyce was 6.
Yeah, like I thought that.
Why
would be
don't
fun
you remember me 6? We had lots of long talks.
That's why she's so cry cry.
6.
I never 6 did say too, not to knock Winona, but the reason I don't give the trophy to Winona. I think she is not the most stable person in real life.
No. She's not acting.
So I don't know how much of her. The nervous disposition. If you remember when the first award season year, as a speech that I think David Harbour gave.
Yes.
It's famously her nonsensical reactions in the background. Dude, that's fucking Joyce. Like,
Someone took that video and they had like a piece of pizza that was floating around, and it looked like she's like, what? She's like falling it with her eyes. Yeah. It was the most amazing thing ever.
So just stuff like that. I know she's a phenomenal actress. I just, you know what I mean? That's what just takes it from me. It's like, I don't know how much of a stretch that was for her. Not going to defend the Millie Crown. It needs no defense. I forget what led me into the Winona factor from Andy's statement. Oh, the 6. Some things we could just talk about, some things that stood out from the trailer, some season 2 predictions. We talked about on the finale that Dr. Brenner, they left room for him to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
What was the big thing I figured out that everybody already knew because they'd seen the trailers months ago? That I thought it was a big thing on the
finale.
That
Hopper knows that 11 is alive. That's why he's feeding and putting food in the box.
Hopper knows 11's alive. That's why he's putting the Eggos in the box. And we saw that in the second trailer that was released recently. 11's got the most adorable little winter hat.
She's got hair.
A little flannel.
Curly hair.
She's got a Jerry curl or something.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like a little afro. But no, I just love that little hat. And she's just living outside. Like, it's cold out here. But I got my Eggos. It'd be super funny if she was a teenager now. Like, Eggos, fuck you.
I want to know what the timeline is.
I'm going to put this on Snapchat.
Well, it says 1 year later, I think.
Well, yeah, but that particular shot.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's clearly not in the upside down.
Right.
When she opens
after
the box.
She breaks through the portal.
I guess they're just implying that that's immediately after she breaks out of the portal and goes back to the real world.
Where'd she get the hat then?
Well, the trailer's got some shots where it's pretty clearly that's immediately after the final confrontation with the Demogorgon. Like, she's still standing in the classroom. Her hair is still very short, but now she's in the classroom version with all of the
infection
stuff around her. And so I think that, her storyline is going to pick up immediately where it left off and then move forward probably like 2 years later or whatever.
She's been surviving in the woods is what
I, or she's at the lab or something. I don't know.
Well, but Sean Levy, the producer, was saying that it was a year later is when the story took place.
All those kids hit puberty in that year.
Yeah. So there's only so much they can do with child actors. Yeah. Finn Wolfhard's balls dropped majorly.
Yeah. Hey guys.
11. I went to the snowball alone. It's cool though.
Do you think that it'll be one of those situations where 11's not present in the show for three or four episodes?
It's possible. Very possible.
Like she's like the quote unquote mid season bump.
Or it'd be cool if they had a little throwback and she came at the end of the pilot, you know, the first episode, just like in the original show. Mm. And just at the very end where they run into her in the rain, you know what I mean? And she's just got that hat and an Eggo in her mouth. Like, oh, hey, guys.
Friends don't lie. Yeah.
Friends don't lie. Thanks for the food. That was Hopper. So, yeah, there's the box, the Eggo box left out for 11. One thing I noticed, that's what I got really excited about, and I think you misread my excitement, Steve. So I saw Joyce with the longer hair. She's lost the haircut, which was apparently an allusion to a character in a different movie. I forget. Andy called out that Eggo.
Her hair?
Yeah. Joyce's hair was made to look like an actress from one of the movies that it references. Anywho.
I don't recall.
That would have been a lot cooler if I remembered.
White Chicks. Yeah.
Reference episode 2 of Streaming Things if you want that little tidbit. No, so she's got the longer hair and she's in Scrubs, it looks like, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know what that reminded me of?
Scrubs?
Terminator 2, when Linda Hamilton is in the hospital chain smoking at the beginning after the crazy events of Terminator 1. Mm-hmm. And now she's a badass and nobody believes her. And then the very next scene, right as I was about to pause it and tell Steve, that's a Terminator 2 Eggo calling it now. The voiceover goes, it's Judgment Day. And I was like, oh, which of course everyone knows T2 Judgment Day.
We're going to obviously get a whole slew of new Eggos.
Ghostbusters is obvious.
Ghostbusters is obvious. Terminator. There's an obvious Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Mm-hmm. Homage with Will opening the door. You mentioned the alien looks kind of like the monster looks like a tripod from War of the Worlds.
Yeah. That's like a 1950s reference.
Or
the remake with Tom Cruise in the aughts.
Yeah.
The aughts. The noughties.
The noughties. So I'm excited to see the different Eggos. And also there was a, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm getting a very distinct Warriors vibe on some of the shots.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I can dig
which
it.
Which I am so excited about seeing a Steve-led Warriors game.
Oh, the Steve shot. We got to talk about that.
His hair is so much Stevier, dude.
He was Tom Cruise-y, too, with the...
Oh, we had the shades on and the party?
The party's like,
yeah.
But then Dustin's like, you got the bat? The one with the nails? And he's like, what that? Oh, this one. And he's got the Tarantino trunk shot.
Yep.
That was super dope. I'm so excited. I cannot stand my excitement that I have to wait another, as we're recording this, it is Tuesday evening. I'm in trouble at my day job and I need to wait 3 more days for season 2. So for those that didn't listen to the finale, pause the podcast, go do that. It was a really fun show, bro.
Good stuff.
Or lady. We are going to meet up at 3 a.m. because it's Eastern time zone here in the U.S. of A. And we're going to watch season 2 together. Any more things you noticed? It was a lot thrown at me, I know, from the trailer. I've only seen it the one time about 10 minutes ago. So
I liked some big names. The trailer shows Paul Reiser and Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Running around.
Yeah.
It looks like Sean Astin is hugging Joyce, so I'm wondering, like, ooh.
She's a love interest for him.
Is it?
Wait. He's a love interest for her. There we go.
So I'm excited because I love me some Sean Astin.
Yeah.
I love me some Paul Reiser.
Cannot say enough about how much I love Sean Astin. I mean, Samwise Gamgee, Rudy, am I right? Am I right?
Goonies.
Let me
carry it for you, Mr. Frodo.
Yeah, I wonder if Feldman's going to make an appearance somewhere.
Corey?
Maybe in the Upside Down. Yeah. He's the new Demogorgon. Just no makeup.
It just looks so good. I mean,
Corey Feldman?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, season two looks so good.
Season two looks so good.
I read something interesting, and I've tried to stay away from all inside info, so I know I've read no reviews or any kind of, you know, set spoilers or anything. One fun tidbit we did talk about before, that I think that Finn Wolfhard, after filming It, they had to get him to stop dropping F-bombs on the set of Stranger Things. I think we talked about that. It's super funny. I can just imagine. 11! What the fuck? You know? Whoa, cut. Finn, your mic. You know, oh, my bad. That the Duffer Brothers were nervous. I forget. They were on another podcast, I think of a fellow filmmakers. And he just point blank asked them. So the extreme success of Steven season one, which is considered one of the best shows of all time. Are you nervous about the reception of season two and being able to follow that up?
No.
And they're like, fuck yeah. We worked our entire lives on season one and we had a year to come up with a story and shoot season two. So them phrasing it that way, it's almost like, oh yeah, there's like no fucking way it would be anywhere near as good. Huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you worried?
I'm there's one key thing that I'm worried about, and that is Will Byers.
Mm. Because he didn't have to do much and he might suck.
He didn't have to do much in the first season. And if I'm being honest, out of the four kids, he's the one that stuck out to me as the least qualified.
Do you think so? Or just because you weren't able to endear yourself to him?
I mean, it could be that, but there were a couple times where he like delivered a line and I'm like, that's a child actor doing child acting things.
Well, he had the most, I'm going to defend Will a little bit here. He had the hardest role. Mm-hmm. He had to play like terrified, haven't drank water in 6 days. Kids don't know what that feels like until you get to your college years. bazinga. And he had all these emotive, sincere moments because he was supposed to play like this overly perfect kid that, like Andy pointed out, works great in episode one. Like, oh, I care about this missing kid. Episode eight, it's like, okay, he's super cool. I get it.
We got it, guys.
You know what I mean? And where they the rest of them would get these funny, because I'll be honest, what's his name?
Gaten Maserato?
Yeah, Gaten Maserato. And who plays Lucas?
I do not.
Lucas is played by Caleb McLaughlin.
Oh, that's right.
They're not great. I mean, they're great, but I mean, they're not perfect, is what I should have said. They're not perfect. Right. I can see the seams. I can see that they're fucking 12 many times throughout the show. Finn Wolfhard, even, his career is blown up. And he's incredible.
Yeah.
Because he plays that asshole.
He's but the when best he's, character in it.
When he's sincere in Stranger Things, he's got some work to do, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that from what we've seen of the trailers for season two, Will looks like does a really good job. Like he's real teary eyed. You know
that crazy, cry scene look great.
He's like, I'm seeing these things everywhere, and like,
do you think that was a Sixth Sense? I got a hard Sixth Sense vibe in that scene. Yeah. I just see dead people,
Demogorgon people.
Haley Joel Osment pops up out of nowhere.
He's all,
me too.
Wow. It's not that I don't think that he's.
I totally get what you're
up
saying.
To the task.
You're right.
I'm just concerned about it because it looks like he goes from not having a lot of screen time in season one to having a lot.
To being like the main character,
the focal point. Yeah, at least for the first half.
Yeah.
What if Eleven gets with Will? She's never met him. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, he's hot.
What if he's like, oh my God, he's such a nice guy. And he's seen the upside down. I'm like, hey, you remember those slugs in Barb's mouth? And he'd be like, do I?
Here's one.
Here's one for you. It's named Gary.
Oh, we're not allowed to name things, Steve. Remember Marcy and Lucy?
Who's Marcy?
Nice. Andy, what do you have any concerns for season two?
That it's going to be over when I finish watching it.
Right.
No, I'm so stoked on it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like Steve said, the cultural references, get some fresh ones. It looks incredible. I think they probably had a little bit of a bigger budget.
Yeah,
which
for
everything
sure.
looked great for season one. They had a fairly large budget. I think it was $15 million or something.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, I think I have it written down from our episode one notes. I don't. Any Hoosley? So there's that. And so the goo is probably going to look great this time.
Right. The goo.
The wall goo that she was coming through looked great. So very stoked. Don't have any overt concerns. I'm excited to see what they use that budget on soundtrack wise. I might know some things instead of just Steve this time. Oh, Eddie and the Lizard Men. That's my favorite track.
Maybe they'll finally put Jefferson Airplane on.
That'd be so great. That would be great. Which one? No, they did put Jefferson Airplane. They didn't put Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's got to be Fleetwood Mac this time. Just the whole Rumours album.
What about
album.
Jefferson Starship?
Yeah.
What are our thoughts that would on Jefferson more Starship?
I feel like that was their 80s incarnation. So, yeah, we here at Streaming Things are extremely excited for season two, and we're extremely excited to do the recap with you guys right afterwards. So we're going to try to follow right along. We're not going to have anything to read as far as Easter egos to steal from, any people's interpretations, because we're going to binge and record as much as we can and still keep our lives together. So we're going to need your help. So again, not to hammer this home like Steve with the nails into his bat too much, but we really need you to share this. Tell us, tell your friends about us. Share it on the Twitter, the Twatter, the Tumblrs, whatever you kids are doing these days. And subscribe, rate, and review this podcast.
Let us know if there's something we should change for season two.
How are you liking it? Are we laughing too much? Too many dick jokes? Not enough? I don't know. Can't tell.
I mean, last episode, everything was dicks.
Yeah, that's true. It was upsetting even to me.
It was a hack job of an edit for Steve, for sure.
Speaking of hack jobs and dicks, what's her name?
Barb.
What? What?
Wow. So yeah. Also, do want to mention real quick, just in case you forgot, there is a contest currently going on. If you take a screenshot of your subscribing, rating, and reviewing action and send it to streamingthingspod@gmail.com, you are entered automatically to win a $100 Amazon gift card from us here at Streaming Things. And we will end that contest on November the 1st and choose randomly from those that have done that. So if you want to be involved in that, I suggest you just do it because it takes like 3 minutes. That'd be the quickest $100 you ever made in your life. 3 minutes? $100?
300 bones.
I'm not. Wait, what? No. It's 100 bones.
300.
So 3 minutes, $100. How many minutes? Okay, that's like 60 divided by 3 is
6,000 greenbacks.
20 times 100. That's like $2,000 an hour. Quit making up denominations and confusing them. It's 100 USD. I don't know how many Bitcoin that is for you nerdy kids.
0.0001.
For you less athletic types, as the principal of Hawkins would say.
100.
Thanks, Steve.
Keeping it 100.
So we're looking forward to seeing you in a few days when season two drops. Thank you so much for joining us throughout this giant endeavor. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this has been Streaming Things.
Streaming
season
things.
Two.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.